Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A lot of discussion going on about the vaccine, about the distribution of same, about whether or not there's a mutation process going on. Is it more virulent? Is the transmission rate up? Why are we seeing the hot zones that we're seeing across the country? But most importantly, what role are our local healthcare providers playing in this overall response to this pandemic? And Dr. Thomas A. Leviste, the Dean of Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, joins us. Doc, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Doc, it's always a pleasure for me to highlight the role that our folks here, our local healthcare providers, have played in the response to this pandemic. Some of which, you know, the course has been really altered by some of the stuff that we have come up with and have suggested. Can you talk about that briefly?
Yeah, I think we've played a prominent role. In fact, Tulane was the first institution in the country to receive the virus. For research purposes from China, and we began working on the genetics of that virus very early on. We've also been involved in creating new testing methods and involved even at the federal level. In fact, the President-elect Biden's transition team met with the committee that I lead for the state recently to learn what we're doing and how we're dealing with vaccine distribution and help advise them on how they'll roll out their plan.
And even some of the way that we treat the disease, I know ventilators were utilized heavily early onset, and I think our physicians here, both Tulane, LSU, and others, were the first to recognize that there were alternative measures that might have a much better outcome.
Yes, I think we've been very active in addressing methods for managing the disease here in New Orleans. You know, we were one of the early hotspots, and so a lot of the learning about this virus and how it acted happened here in New Orleans and has been distributed really all over the world.
Absolutely. Obviously, the Biden administration is going to be rolling in January 20th. Early onset, there's some marked differences in the approach. One that is coming up right now, and I'd love to get your reaction to this and what your thoughts are, is that the incoming Biden administration is saying that they plan to end the policy of keeping COVID vaccine doses in reserve. The Trump administration thus far, early onset, probably not a bad move early onset, but it seems that more and more people are falling in line with this line of thought. Better to get as many people vaccinated with the first dose and not focus as much as ensuring that they have the second dose available. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a complicated issue. I'm ambivalent about it, quite frankly. I'd like to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as possible, but I do think that we could potentially be facing a problem on the back end if we're not able to provide that second dose. The manufacturers recommend that everyone get two doses. I'd prefer maybe a less aggressive strategy that would ensure that we would have enough doses to make sure everyone can get the second dose.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, and I guess this goes to one of the issues that I've brought up with Dr. Joe Cantor many times on this show, is that when we're trying to develop trust in this system, when we have this shifting, because there was a lot of talk, a lot of chatter, a lot of dialogue around the fact that the logistics nightmare of this was to make sure and ensure that that second inoculation was going to be available on time. And it seems that you guys, all the individual states, the federal government and others, worked endless number of hours trying to make sure that that was actually going to happen. And now we have kind of a different mindset. And I was just, you know, I find it curious that you say you're ambivalent, because that was my immediate reaction to it. And I was already surprised to learn that in the UK, they have kind of decided to not re-inoculate 1 month later, but maybe as far out as 90 days later. And this is still in its infancy from a study standpoint, and it just kind of confused me a little bit.
Yeah, I think I really can't speak for the UK, but my understanding here is that we don't have a definitive decision on how that's going to happen just yet. And that, right. You know, there are still discussions.
Yes, it's proposed. It's being proposed, yeah. Right.
Right. So I don't think we haven't really closed the door on that one. But, you know, I do understand the pressures that might lead one to conclude that we should put all of the doses out immediately. But I do think that we have to be concerned about, if we don't get that second dose, you know, there's a potential for even more mutations that'll happen. Viruses mutate under any circumstances anyway. But if people are only partially vaccinated, new mutations could develop that could be resistant to the vaccine. And that's one of the things that concerns me, that potential problem.
Obviously, you've been involved and engaged in a number of conversations kind of from the inside as it relates to this distribution and logistical challenge that we have with the vaccine. Are you in a position, or is there a comfort level for you that the manufacturing companies have proven themselves relative to being able to meet or even surpass production quotas relative to the vaccine?
I think that can be achieved. I mean, I think the one thing I know that the incoming Biden administration is talking about is using the Defense Production Act to allow other manufacturers to manufacture the vaccines. I think that could be a way of expanding capacity by bringing more manufacturers involved. In other words, other pharmaceutical companies would make the vaccine that was produced by, you know, Pfizer or Moderna. That's one strategy that could be helpful. I do think that we can produce enough doses quickly enough to get the, you know, the population vaccinated in a reasonable time by mid-year. But I do think it would require a more aggressive approach from the new administration.
We're hearing more and more, and I'm just going to call them hiccups, because I really believe that this is an unprecedented logistical challenge that this country has never faced before in rolling out these vaccines in the mass enormous numbers in a very tight time period that they're trying to accomplish same. So that's why I refer to it as hiccups. How do you assess how Louisiana has done so far?
I think, you know, we're still early on in distribution. I mean, we're still in phase 1A where let me back up a second and say the vaccines have emergency use authorization. These vaccines have not been fully approved by the FDA. So the way that works, the emergency use authorization program works, is that the pharmaceuticals that are approved under UA emergency use are only available to extremely high-risk patients, right, which is why we're prioritizing healthcare workers and residents in nursing homes because of their high risk, right? So right now, finding nursing home workers, we know where they are. They're at the nursing home, right? So finding healthcare workers, we can find them. We can go to healthcare organizations, and that's where they are. So the logistical problems are really a big part of the problem is, of course, the fragility of the vaccine. and getting the right number of doses to the right place at the right time, but figuring out where people are that are eligible to get the vaccine is not the problem. What we're really going to encounter complications once we move down into, you know, phase two, where we open up vaccine availability to the general public and being able to get it, especially into the rural areas. I think that the plans here in Louisiana are pretty good plans. You know, I'm part of a collaborative of state COVID task forces, and we meet regularly and compare notes. I think we've got a pretty good plan. I think overall we've been ahead of many states in terms of our response here in Louisiana. Certainly, I think we've had a better response than many of the states that surround us. And I'm very confident that the folk at the state health department are in the governor's office are going to be able to get the vaccine out to the state. But just of course, as you point out, this is unprecedented. This is complicated. We have several different vaccines with different needs. So just keeping straight who gets vaccinated with which vaccine and who needs the second dose at what time, there's a lot of logistics and a lot of complications to it. But I do think that so far we've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, you know, I kind of make the observation because in today's environment right now, which is toxic at best, it seems as though we're looking for these little bitty snippets of information to exploit to try and make something look better than it probably is or worse than it probably is. And, you know, for the last several months, I've been asking folks to just take a deep breath and kind of put faith in the system because we are in uncharted territory. And I don't know that I can exaggerate that point. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, a virus is apolitical. Virus does not care about politics or any. And so, unfortunately, politics have gotten so intertwined with this response to this pandemic. But, you know, the viruses do what they do. And what they do is they seek to spread, and that's what viruses are going to do. And unfortunately, our response has been politicized. But, you know, the reality is that what we need to do is to do everything we can to avoid people from getting infected. And then when people are infected, get them away from other people to reduce likelihood that they will infect others until we can get everyone vaccinated. If we could just get the politics out of it and just focus on being smart in our strategies to reduce infection rate, you know, I think we'd all be a little better off.
Absolutely. Dr. Thomas Levice joins us, Dean of Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. Doc, when we come back from the break, I'd like to talk about the following. From the outside looking in, it looks like that we have reached out to you guys in both academia and practitioners, the leading educational institutions in our state. And I want to get a feedback from you as to whether or not you feel the same and whether or not you really believe that they've given you guys an appropriate role in this process. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. All right, we're back. Dr. Thomas A. Levice, Dean of Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, joins us. And, Doc, I was curious, from the outside looking in, as I said earlier, it looks as though the parties to be, the CDC and so many others, the FDA, have really kind of incorporated the universities and the academics as well as those practicing within those institutions in this process. Is that actually what is happening or not?
That is. I mean, that is the way the system is set up. You know, CDC usually runs point on things like this. But they reach out to other assets around the country, and a lot of those assets reside in academia, but also in state government, you know, state health departments, and they utilize all of those. They organize all of those assets to deal with large outbreaks like this.
And you feel like the role that Tulane and others, have, LSU and others, have played here locally has been a robust role in this process?
I think so. CDC reached out to us early in in several different ways. So we were, as I pointed out earlier, we were one of the, we were the first, you know, state in the country, institution in the country, to get the virus, to start doing the research on the virus to understand how it operates. You know, they also reach out to us with funding to establish programs for health education around the virus, both with Xavier, LSU, and Tulane. I think that we've had a robust role, both and at the federal and state levels, by the way.
And obviously, this is going to be an incredibly elongated response to this pandemic. I think everyone wishes it would be much shorter. Yeah. Do you see you guys playing a more expanded role in the future as well?
You mean in vaccine distribution?
You know, not only the policies around vaccine distribution, but as I think, as you pointed out, one of the biggest challenges is going to be that distribution process relative to those areas of the state and areas of the country where our distribution of healthcare is not as rock solid as it is in the metro areas.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the universities are an important part of the infrastructure that we'll need to be able to get this vaccine out. You know, universities have capabilities. You know, for example, just those freezers capable of maintaining the vaccine at the proper temperature. I mean, universities are more likely to have facilities like that. And you know, but I think there's a number of entities that will be helpful, not just universities, but, you know, pharmacies. We'll have to rely on pharmacies around the state to distribute the vaccine. Any sort of healthcare organization, of course, as well. I think that activating all of these entities to be able to help with vaccine distribution is what needs to happen and what has happened to this point.
Yeah, you know, I bring the question up as well as in the context of as we are challenged here in the New Orleans metro area, and diversifying our economy is one that has always piqued my curiosity, that I think that we've only really scratched the surface, that there's so much more and that we can be so much more robust. And it's these types of opportunities that we have to really shine and to show the breadth and depth of the capabilities of what we have here throughout the metropolitan area.
Right. Well, I couldn't agree more about all of that, including the need to diversify the economy of the state. But I do think that is one of the areas where we really have an opportunity to build more of a, you know, economic base for the state by even more investment into healthcare. Not only do we have that, we also have a need because of the health status of the population. We are one of the sickest states in the country in terms of our health profile. And we certainly need, you know, people to be, you know, better educated about how to stay healthy, but also healthcare access when people are in need of healthcare.
Yep, absolutely. Doc, I know that you got to get to your next appointment. We really appreciate you joining us this morning, Dr. Thomas A. Levice, Dean of Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you do. Godspeed and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.